Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And ordinarily, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Dr. Boyd Graves, and we're going to be talking about the origin of AIDS. Now, there's been a lot of planned disinformation out there on where this virus came from, because it never existed before or the mid-1970s, somewhere in there. This is an entirely new organism. And so where did it come from? Well, people will try to say, well, maybe it was disseminated in the smallpox vaccine, knowing full well that was at the wrong time. And then they'll say, well, it was in the polio vaccine. And it's sort of like you set up a straw man to knock down, because they checked the polio vaccine and it wasn't there. And so they say, oh, shucks, well, it wasn't disseminated that way. It would probably have been around for a long period of time. But nobody ever asked why we're not trying to stop this epidemic. Do you realize that in the country of Botswana in Africa, every woman who comes in for a prenatal check, who's going to be pregnant, is going to have a child, they test her routinely. We don't do that in the United States. In a few states, they're doing that. They keep saying, gee, maybe we ought to start testing to find out, you know, who really is infected. Oh, but we drive the disease underground. We can't use standard public health techniques to try to stop this epidemic. And the question is, why can't we? We've lost over a half a million Americans in America so far. Another million, well, the latest figure is somewhere between about 1,090,000 and about 1,185,000 are infected, and they're all going to die. And they acknowledge that well over 20 million have died throughout the world, another 40 million or more infected. And contrary to everything you've been told, we're not doing anything effectively from a public health point of view to stop the epidemic. And I'm going to ask Boyd to pick this up. He's made this his mission in life, to bring out the truth about where this organism came from. He's involved in a lawsuit. You're not going to hear about this on ABC, CBS, and NBC, because he's suing basically with the contention that the government created this terrible disease. Boyd, go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Stan, and thanks for having me again. I think this may be our third or fourth time, and I didn't mean to choke you up there, so I'll give you a moment to, you know, to catch your breath, because we do have a tumultuous issue brewing here before us. And, you know, Dr. Stan, it does come down to the science facts, to the medical facts. And indeed, this U.S. special virus program, and you're well aware of the program, I don't know how many of the progress reports of the program you have viewed, but indeed, there was a federal virus development program that preceded the onset of HIV and AIDS. And our basic premise is we want this federal virus development program reviewed. But in addition to that federal virus program, you know, you are well aware, probably more so than many, many other people around the country and the world, that on June 9, 1969, the United States Pentagon sought $10 million for the purposes of making a synthetic biological agent for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. And they went on further to say, and it's the Dr. MacArthur testimony, he goes on further to say that the synthetic biological agent that they were making would be one that would deplete the immune system, in essence, so as to allow for the onset of infectious disease. So we have a problem, and I think you know what the problem is, because our president on his State of the Union address on 2003 stated that AIDS is a plague of nature, and that his State of the Union address had been reviewed by the Central Intelligence Agency, so that his statement, AIDS is a plague of nature,
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Boyd Graves, and he is doing everything he can to dramatize, to bring to the attention of the American people the massive amounts of evidence that the AIDS virus, the so-called HIV virus, was actually produced genetically, that this disease has its genetic predisposition for blacks, that there was a program that was outlined in 1969 in testimony before the House Appropriations Committee, where Dr. MacArthur, testifying for the Pentagon, asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there would be no immune response. And, of course, he commented at the time, there are some people who think this would be a new method of mass killing and that we should not develop this new disease for which there would be no immune response, but we want the money to produce it. And of course, it's Dr. Graves' contention that they actually did produce this virus. I believe they created the virus for many reasons, but we're going to let Dr. Graves go ahead and give you the background of why he believes this was done, how it was done, and who financed it. So please pick up the story there.
Well, so, man, it's at a very, very critical point, because what we're saying here is that here we have the leader of the free world saying that indeed AIDS is a plague of nature, in essence to ameliorize the population and from a mind-controlled, centralized intelligence standpoint. So our contention to the United States is that if indeed AIDS is a plague of nature, then where is the United States synthetic biological agent that was funded in 1969?
And, of course, the other question is, why aren't we using any standard effective public health approaches to stop this epidemic?
Well, that's a very, very secondary question, because here we have definitive proof, and most of the people who are listening to this broadcast right now are online, and they can put in on Google, a Google search, House Resolution 15090, and access this congressional testimony where money is being sought from the U.S. Pentagon for a weapon. HIV/AIDS is the greatest weapon of mass destruction the world has ever known. And the evidence is even more compelling, Dr. Stan.
Right.
I have to say this.
You go right ahead.
On June 3, 1946, Time magazine reports on the May 1946 appropriations hearing, where even at that point, just 1 year after the infiltration of Project Paperclip and the Nazi scientists, it is in the Congressional Record of the United States, a record of the development of a synthetic biological agent. And the title of that article in the June 3, 1946 magazine is Better Than the Bomb. It is the May 1946 appropriations hearing which definitively show the United States had the capability to use the Vista virus in such a fashion to commingle it, bioengineer it in host cells, primarily cells of people of color, for the purposes of developing HIV.
Hold that thought right there for a minute. All right, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Boyd Graves, and he's going into the background why he believes, as I believe, that the AIDS virus was genetically produced very, very specifically. It's a very, very effective killer. It takes a long time to carry out this devastating effect, and the advantage to that is that it can be spread much more widely, because a lot of people don't know they're infected, and they continue spreading the disease, and every barrier has been put in the way to prevent doctors from doing routine testing to find out who has the disease to stop its spread. So pick up the story from there, Boyd.
Well, you know, it's not none too convoluted from here to four thereafter. The U.S. Special Virus Program began in 1962 officially and ended in 1978. Now, according to the experts who have reviewed, you know, some of those progress reports, and, you know, among them are Dr. Lynn Horowitz, Dr. Garth Nicholson, Dr. Alan Cantwell. In fact, they are three of the co-authors of virus makers of the CIA. Dr. Cantwell has traced to the progress reports and can confirm this federal program produced 60,000 liters of HIV. You are also aware, Dr. Stan, that we have, in addition to the congressional testimony from 1969, we have the 1971 centerpiece of this whole program, the 1971 flowchart document, where Dr. Victoria Cargill from the National Institutes of Health Office of AIDS Research has declared the flowchart as the flowchart on HIV. So what we're saying to the rest of the populace is that, A, I am entitled to a constitutional right to life, and I'm going to continue to pursue my constitutional rights. Whether anyone else is helping me pursue my constitutional right to life and other issues, that is okay. But I'm going to pursue my constitutional right to life.
All
my
right.
government does not have the right to secretly plot to kill me, and then once I find out, preclude me from taking the issue forward. I'm taking this issue forward.
All right, fine. Now, there is a flowchart, and that flowchart was in one of the government reports, wasn't it?
Well, it's in a number of the reports, and, you know, right now, we have Dr. Bob Strecker. Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm really not.
Oh, Dr. Bob Strecker was, back in 1986, was one of the first mouthpieces to say that VISNA was, had been commingled in a human genome for, and HIV was no accident. Dr. Robert Strecker.
Bob Strecker, certainly, I know him.
Yeah, well, he goes by Bob, but Bob is reviewing the flowchart as we speak. You know, others have reviewed it, and many people aren't aware of that. On my website, currently it's boydgraves.com, although I have not received any proceeds from that website since we were in the federal court against the United States on July 3, 2003. But boydgraves.com has a comments link where the experts who have reviewed this information have posted their reviews. So it isn't so much, Dr. Chan, just Boyd Ed Graves' belief, being someone who was potentially afflicted with the pandemic, per se, but it is also the opinions of some of the best scientists and medical doctors from around the world, and many of whom have posted their reviews on the website, boydgraves.com. So in addition to the documentation, we have some of the best scientists and medical doctors in the world who have indeed verified this information, that in the special virus program of the United States is the genesis of HIV.
All right, fine. Now, as far as the flowchart is concerned, would you explain this to our listeners? They may not quite grasp what you're speaking about, but you're talking about a chart that was published by the government to explain how this whole thing came about. Is that it?
You've seen the flowchart, of course,
right.
I believe, haven't you?
Right, right.
Well, so as you're segueing me in here, I appreciate that. But basically what the flowchart represents, it is an A to Z. It is the blueprint, it is the schematic.
All right.
of the creation, production, and proliferation of HIV. Now, how do we know this? You see that there are a number of phases in the flowchart document, and again, that document is available on the website, boydgraves.com. I'm trying to get up boydgraves.org, boydgraves.org, to have some control over the website and the further proliferation of this flowchart document. But it is the crown jewel. In fact, Dr. Chan, I believe history will ultimately show the 1971 Research Logic flowchart of the U.S. Special Virus Program to be one of the greatest document finds in the history of the world, because it gives you in graphic detail how the HIV enzyme was developed through, which is the specimen selection phase, as to which host cells would be chosen for the virus particles of the VISNA sequences to be co-mingled into the human genome.
All right, now for our listener, the VISNA is a sheep virus, isn't it?
Well, the VISNA is a what we believe to be a man-made virus that acquired the name VISNA, V-I-S-N-A, after it appeared in, after testing of it in Iceland, where the Icelandic farmers saw their sheep crumbling and, in essence, wasting, and so they said VISNA, which is the word wasting in Icelandic.
And then so, you believe that this is a man-made virus that was introduced into the sheep population of Iceland. About what year was that, do you recall?
Yeah, I certainly do, and thank you again for asking. It was 1932, same year they began infiltrating syphilis into the Alabama sharecroppers. They were testing the infectious agent of HIV. So, was Tuskegee syphilis an isolated event? No, it was not. Here we see that 20 sheep were sent from Hall, Germany, and two of the 20 sheep were carrying the VISNA virus. However, the sheep were spread around the island, one to a farmer, and they sent back and they weighed it. And what they saw was the early blueprint, the early, earthquake pattern of what we have with Africa and Manhattan, because the two sheep were separate in their locations on the island of Iceland, but the demographics of their destruction were like two earthquake prints, of course, at the same time, which is what we have with Manhattan and New York. So the early work done with the synthetic VISNA wasting element on the sheep in Iceland was in conjunction with the syphilis experiments. This seems to be far greater than a fear of the Negroid race for overpopulation, because it reaches back into the earliest parts of the 20th century, and certainly into the 19th century, and we're prepared to show the continual development of this ethnic weapon. I mean, it goes even to the 1902 Cold Springs Harbor Laboratory and the 1904, which many people aren't aware of, the Station for Experimental Evolution. And then we find a continuous trail of recombinants. The Ruth sarcoma virus in 1909 is shown to be a recombinant in the progress reports of the program. The 1918 Spanish flu is a recombinant man-made flu virus that had a bird avian virus commingled to it at that point, and that was 1918. We see a continuous development where the American people and the people of the world have been led to a facade because of some silent secret agreement of science, medicine, and pharmacology that we must bust through. And we believe that this flowchart document, in conjunction with the sworn congressional testimony of the United States, proves that this United States has to account for the federal virus program that preceded the onset of HIV and AIDS. And then just one more sentence, if I could, because it's for the people who have scoffed at this notion. Many of us cannot scoff at the fact that we have seen some of our loved ones die in mysterious ways. No one can say that that is a myth, and no one can say that that is a hoax.
All right, fine. For our listeners, it's very interesting to note that the original influenza, so-called Spanish flu epidemic, began in military recruits as they were vaccinated here in the United States. And then, of course, when they were coming down with this very deadly disease, instead of course, isolating them, what did they do? Why, they packed them into troop ships and they sent them off to Europe, off to France, where, of course, they spread the disease, and it spread throughout the world. And there were many doctors at the time who said, we've got to clamp down. We can't be sending these troops. We certainly can't put them onto troop ships because they'll spread the disease. We should quarantine the people with the disease. And what did the high government officials do? Why, they did just the opposite. And of course, we had an epidemic that killed 20 million people. Now, and then, of course, you fast forward to the time in the 1930s when they began the Tuskegee study, where they picked 400 black men with syphilis, and they did everything they could to keep them from getting treated. An organized effort not to treat them, but to keep them from getting treated so they would, the syphilis would ravage their bodies, and then they would die, and then they get autopsy. And then you say, nobody could be that cruel or crass. Well, I would suggest that you get the study of the Tuskegee study. We have a 4-tape set on that. It gives a great deal of detail on this inhuman study, and nobody was ever punished. And I've talked to public health officials to this very day defend that. And then, of course, we can fast forward from there into this special virus cancer project, which began about 1950s, early 1950s.
Well, you know, it began officially in 1962. However, what we're trying to get from the United States under the Freedom of Information Act is that the 1957 appropriations hearing that was off the record, where Gerald R. Ford was in attendance as well, where we secretly funded a program called Special Operations-X, the SOX program, Special Operations-X, which then we saw a precursor of HIV, the Burkitt's lymphoma, that proliferated Africa in the late 1950s there, seemed to be an offshoot of this Special Operations X program that was funded off the record by the United States Congress in 1957. So, coupled with what we have from the 1946 appropriations hearing, where they say better than the bomb, in fact, that they had a biological agent at that point that was in usable shape. And that's quoting, too, from, again, Professor Robert E. Lee. He's the author of AIDS and Explosion of the Biological Time Bomb. So I'm kind of confused, Dr. Stan, because all of these experts have tracked through this information, have all come to the same conclusion, yet there is no powwow of energy that takes this issue to the ABCs, the NBCs, and the CBS, and the Oprahs, if you would. So I'm wondering, you know, does this whole process seem like in contrast to a black hole, which we have in space, per se, kind of like a white hole where all the life is sucked out of us, you know, on this issue?
All right, we'll hang on there. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Boyd Graves. We'll explore this a little bit more. Is it possible there's anything that is really this evil that they would actually plan to create a disease for mass killing here in America and throughout the world? Well, of course, if you read the writings of people like Jacques Cousteau, he talks about the necessity of killing 350,000 people a day. We've got his statements. We'll be glad to provide them for you.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 and the went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Boyd Graves, and we're going to the background of where did the AIDS virus come from. And, of course, imagine if this actually was produced by our own scientists with the specific purpose of killing off certain racial groups, because this disease has a predilection for blacks. You only see this today now. It becomes increasingly obvious that about 55 to 60% of all the new AIDS cases in the United States are black. In Africa, of course, it is ravishing. Many of the countries there, in South Africa, 25% of the black population has the disease. In Botswana, 40% of the pregnant women have the disease, 42%. And figures of 30-35% in Swaziland and in many of those countries in southern Africa. It's just decimating the population. So, you know, but nobody ever wants to ask why we're not using standard and effective public health techniques like we did with SARS, like we do with every other disease, to try to stop this disease.
Oh, I'd like to answer that if I could.
You go right ahead.
Well, first we need to stop calling it a disease. It is a synthetic biological agent. We can prove that. That'll help change the mindset and the thinking, because there seems to be a mindset of shame affiliated with calling something a disease, when now that we see that it really isn't. So the first thing is we call it what it is. This is a weapon that has been inflicted on the people. We can prove that. Let us start calling it a weapon or an agent as opposed to a disease. Secondly, impact of the cure. You know, the cure is patent number, and I hope people have their pens out. The patent number for the cure for AIDS is 5676977. Now, that's in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, www.uspto.gov. People put that number in. They see here readily we have a cure, a one-time injection, so that people who are inflicted and afflicted by HIV and AIDS have something that is available that the United States needs to get out there if they are sincere. What we believe, though, Dr. Stan, I think you do as well, and Mr. Cousteau and a number of other people, that there has to be something done to the population. Population control is necessary. Nixon said this himself in signing Public Law 91-213, which in essence authorizes HIV. That was on March 16, 1970, that in the last third of the 20th century, there would be explosive events relative to population control. We have all seen an explosion of death in the last third of the 20th century. All of this is man-made and perpetrated. By exposing the documents of the United States relative to the U.S. Special Virus Program and the policy decisions relative to population control, we then can get ourselves on a clear page to have a chance to save all of humanity. In the federal lawsuit, I'm trying to say void Ed Gray's constitutional rights, and I believe that I'm doing the best job that I can. Yeah. But here we have a chance to spark something, to spark the debate, to hold your Radio Liberty station out for all those who want to come and say that the documents that you have produced and you believe in, to know that they're the truth, to show, tell you that they're not the truth. You will find that no one will come, because these documents are the truth, and you and I both know that.
Now, Boyd, as far as the lawsuit is concerned, could you explain that to our listeners? You are brought a suit in a federal court, and the judge, at least is, so far, has allowed you to present some preliminary evidence. Where do you stand with it?
Well, you know, thanks, Dr. Stan, because, you know, I guess that's getting right back around to it. Yeah, by Friday of this week, I have to have the brief in response to the judges. I think he's going to have an 18-page order on July 5th. I have till the 15th. I virtually haven't even read all that the judge had to say in that lengthy thing that he issued, but we're in the throes of this to prove that indeed a jury needs to decide whether my constitutional right to life has been a fraud, whether it's been revoked, or whether it ever existed. And then there's some other issues that come in behind that. But we believe that by presenting these U.S. documents in a federal court and to a jury appears, that any reasonable person, after viewing these documents, will conclude that indeed HIV is a synthetic agent that is in violation of the U.S. Constitution. If there's no individual right of action, we hope that this jurisdiction here in the U.S. federal court will lead to, you know, filing a claim in the International Criminal Court of Justice. We're just that sincere.
Right,
but we could use some help, Dr. Stan. My email is boyded2003@yahoo.com for people that could possibly help. I could use all the help I could get. That's boyded2003@yahoo.com. I could use all the help of the good people, because that's what it's going to take coming down the stretch. Persons like yourself who aren't afraid to get out here and say what the truth is
now
without any hand in hand.
Let's get that email out. It's
yes, sir.
Boyded2003.
Okay. 2003.
boyded2003@yahoo.com.
For anyone that can assist this process, you know, the transcript from we were in the court on June 24th, and for the people who were in the courtroom, and there was a gentleman who was there who was also at the prior court hearing, And people in the courtroom believed that I had carried that issue. However,
hold that thought right there. Yeah.
Most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and it really is horrible to think that anybody would even consider creating a biological disease to kill millions and millions of people. And yet, we know, in fact, there are our listeners out there who would like a copy of the hearings, why we actually have the hearings, where Dr. MacArthur in 1969, testifying before the House Appropriations Committee, asked for $10 million to create a disease for which there would be no immune response. And he commented that some people thought that they should not do this because it was another method of mass killing, but they wanted the money to develop this organism anyway. That was 1969, and of course, we know it was about a decade later that the first cases were not identified, but the strange new diseases occurred, and certainly both in New York and in San Francisco, and they occurred in homosexuals. And the vast majority of those homosexuals had taken an experimental hepatitis B vaccine, and at least in San Francisco, we do have the records. 75% of the homosexuals who took that vaccine came down with AIDS, developed AIDS. So is there a causal relationship? I would think that any court of law would accept there was. But you see, it is such an impossible thing for anybody to believe that such evil could exist in the world today. Actually, Boyd, when you tell people about this and your effort to get this into the federal court, most people sort of look at you and say this couldn't be true. Isn't that the case?
Well, you know, oddly enough, you would expect that because they're making extraordinary claims. But, however, the extraordinary claims are not baseless. The extraordinary claims are met with the extraordinary proof. And all anyone has to do is read. Now, that's where we seem to have a problem, because we find a lot of people choose not to indeed read or view the documents, which allows them to remain in a nebulous state of mind. However, this comes down to U.S. documents, and I can read.
All right, now, basically what happened was they formed this special virus cancer project, and they started putting out regularly yearly reports about what a great job they were doing.
And of the progress that they were making. And, you know, that's a good point, Dr. Stan, because, you know, we've been at this for a number of years, you know, 13 in total, just turned 53 on Sunday. I took the HIV test for my 40th birthday without any symptoms or anything along those lines. Unfortunately, at that time, I was in law school and getting ready to graduate law school. I had been binge drinking for a number of years, and that is a condition we now know possibly could have led to a false positive for myself. However, I went on the HIV meds, and the meds almost killed me. So this is a double-edged sword, this thing called HIV and AIDS, because many of us have tested false positive and have indeed been debilitated by the medicines. But I did want to go back to that flowchart document, the 1971 Research Logic flowchart document, because of what it provides in the form of how do we address and inhibit HIV today. In phase 4A is the immunological control experiment. We believe that any review of the U.S. Special Virus Program should begin in that phase 4A area, where they show the experiments that the United States operated or had in place to inhibit and cure HIV back then. That's why the flowchart is so very important.
Now, was this in the 8th report or in the 9th report? Which report?
The flowchart is first found in the 1971 report, which is the 8th progress report of the program, so on page 61. And the interesting thing is, too, again, Dr. Fan, that's right on point. The preceding 60 pages that precede the flowchart in that 1971 report answer every question as to how and why we have HIV. Indeed, they have sought to use either non-oncogenic animal viruses to mix with host cells or oncogenic animal virus to mix with host human cells. The cells that were the host human cells are shown in the phase one of the flowchart. It shows that these experiments inside of the progress reports deal primarily with black people, both here in the United States and in Africa. This is definitive. The progress reports also show that the United States made a virus. It was called the ESP-1 virus. And Dr. Gallo is principal in that production of the ESP-1 virus, in that he produced a paper and shows the ESP-1 virus at 100,000 times electron microscope magnification. Dr. Gallo has a 1985 paper where he shows the electron microscope of HIV. The 1971 electron microscope and the 1985 electron microscope, the 1985 being that of HIV, they are identical. So this U.S. Special Virus Program made a virus. It was called at that time the ESP-1 virus. That virus is then shipped to Pfizer for concentration and proliferation. We believe that shows the mix of the HIV enzyme as the ESP-1 virus and the vaccine maker's hands of Pfizer, and that contract is located on page 115 in the progress report number 8.
And I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that they tried the CIA, they were working with the CIA and with all of the intelligence agencies, they tried to destroy all of these progress reports, but somebody really messed up, and a couple of these actually persisted. And so Dr. Graves has the 8, 9, and how many of those actually do you have?
Well, we're proud to say that we have more than the government at this point. We have all the way from 8 to 15. There's some...
Now, do you actually have 14 and 15? Because I know there was some difficulty getting those.
Oh, we have those also, but now we're making them bring them back around again. They said that, you know, the documents have been removed from the archives, and then they sent us something else. So I was going to tell you, we've got number four now, progress report number four from 1967, and it appears to be the birthplace of human herpes virus 6, HHV6, from all that we're reading now from the 1967 progress report number four. So we're still at this, Dr. Stan, and gleaning more and more information, but these are U.S. documents. And for all the naysayers out there who believe that indeed this is a virus that has come from Africa, as has been the propaganda, the Nazi sheep cells, the Vicina cells, because if it had come from Africa, there would be no Icelandic sheep sequences in HIV. So the Vicina issue, V-I-S-N-A issue, is the greatest issue that we have, because on page 39 of that 1971 report, the United States concedes that the Vicina virus had not yet been associated with human disease. That's on page 39. Yet in 1985, Dr. Gallo, with the National Academy of Sciences in 1986 even, says that Vicina is the etiological agent of HIV. So here we have a definitive point in time that as late as 1971, the Vicina virus had not been associated with human disease, page 39, progress report number 8 of the United States Special Virus Program. So how did Vicina become associated with HIV to be the etiological agent by January of 1985? Dr. Robert Gallo, Science Magazine, volume 227, pages 173 through 177, that's January 1985. So somebody's got to tell me something. If this has not been associated with human disease, how did it become associated with HIV between 1971 and 1985?
Well, I think what people have to understand is that ordinarily there would be animal diseases, and humans didn't get them. But they found that if they grew the animal diseases in cultures of human cells, that they could condition these viruses to infect human beings. And you would have to say, why would anybody do that? Ladies and gentlemen, there are evil and wicked people out there. There's a book, I don't have it for sale, but we have copies by Dr. Gary Glum, and in that book is called Full Disclosure. He says somebody came to him and said, look, I was part of the team that created the AIDS disease, and I'm dying, and I want you to know the truth. And the background of the book is how they created the virus. I have other scientists who've come to me and said, scientists have come to me who were part of this program and said, we were involved in creating this terrible disease, but we're afraid to come forward. Well, we know, of course, if you listen to Steve Quayle's programs, that over 80 biological scientists have died under very mysterious circumstances. One of them was recently found, his body with multiple bullet wounds, and of course burned, found in the trunk of a burning car. So it's very, very dangerous to have been involved with all of these secret government experiments, and some of these evil people are paying for it with their lives. Could this really go on in America today? Is this crazy talk? Well, I would ask you, where did Ebola come from? Where did Marburg disease come from? Where did Lyme disease come from? These are all new diseases that never existed before.
I'd like to answer that if I could.
You go right ahead.
You know, where they came from. Because what we're dealing with here are new synthetic biological agents that all are of a mycoplasma basis. And when you use the word mycoplasma, people need to look that word up. M-Y-C-O-P-L-A-S-M-A. All of these agents appear to be a mycoplasma-based agent. Would you agree, Dr. Stan?
Well, I would think that many of the HIV cases have a mycoplasma. And
I'm not just talking about HIV. I'm talking about the other one-celled alleged diseases. They're all one-celled. If they're one-celled, they're mycoplasma. That's the realization that we're coming to. I know Dr. Secker is heading up a group of scientists who are thinking that all of virology is man-made. And what they mean by that is that tracing mycoplasma back to its inception, which is 1843 in the tobacco mosaic virus, that what we have seen since that time is a buildup of a science called virology, when in essence it is nothing more than the transfer of mycoplasma from plant into animal and now into human. And and that's what we're showing to be all synthetic.
Well, we know that the mycoplasma is infecting many people. When I went to medical school, it was not even considered a pathogen, and today, of course, is responsible for atypical pneumonia. It's becoming increasingly pathogenic. Large numbers of people with chronic fatigue have this, and would appear...
Again, you know why? It goes back to MacArthur. Excuse me for cutting in, but on page 121, as opposed to page 129 of that MacArthur testimony, they speak to this issue of making lethal and incapacitating agents. So, again, it is the mycoplasma that's underneath here, but it has been re-engineered to make lethal and incapacitating agents. But even also on that page 121 of that House Resolution 15090, MacArthur states that the virus or the synthetic biological agent that they were working on would only apply or appear in certain geographical locations, creating worldwide scourge and black death-type plague in certain geographical areas. We believe it is the fingerprint of HIV. It is from the 1969. It is from that 1969 testimony. And I, again, implore all of our adversaries to call you to say, okay, we want to address that testimony. Because you and I both know, Dr. Stan, to date, no one has yet come and said it's not what we say it is. We have found the wellspring of the genesis of HIV/AIDS, and it is our government principally.
Now, are you getting any press coverage on this lawsuit? You've already been in court. You will be going back to court again quite soon.
Well, you know, if I don't get this brief done by Friday, we won't be going back much sooner. But, you know, we're out here and we have been. And, you know, this is only the right thing to do because it's based on truth and fact. I mean, I need the help of the good people. You know, my email is boydedd2003@yahoo.com. I could use some help, of course. You know, the transcript of the June 24th proceedings, you know, that's $40 or $50. You know, keeping the cellular, this is a singular pay-as-you-go phone, so keeping the singular phone on, you know, that's about, you know, $200 or $300 a week.
Well,
you know, so we need some help out here, Dr. Sam. Make no mistake about it.
All right, fine. If you would like to help Boyd, I've known of him for some years, and he's really sort of taking this all on him by himself. He's taking on the whole military-industrial complex, the biological-industrial complex, which has been working with government and creating new diseases, and it's a dangerous thing to do. Let me tell you that other people have tried to do this sort of thing, and sometimes they get found stuffed in the trunks of their cars. And if you really want to get into what happens to many of these microbiologists, why I'd suggest Steve Quayle's website. Excellent material. We live in a fallen world.
Go ahead. Dr. Stan, too, on the scientists and microbiologists that have been suddenly killed or mysteriously killed, they're saying that they are being wiped out ahead of the ultimate epidemic. It is being predicted that the next AIDS virus will come through the air like SARS, and it will be triggered by hair color and eye color. And by getting the microbiologists and the scientists out of the way, it will allow for the ultimate epidemic to do its thing.
Well, I think when people understand that this may very well affect them and their children, don't scoff it off. Check out the facts. Find out, did Dr. MacArthur really ask for $10 million to create an organism that would create another form of mass killing? We have the testimony. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And after Boyd leaves, I'll tell you where you can get other information. But, Boyd, why don't you tell them about your website and how they could get the flowchart?
Well, that's a little bit confusing at this moment because I don't have control of the website.
Oh, you don't have control of the website? Okay.
However, someone send me an email. Of course, I'll do everything in my power to get, you know, flowchart to many more people who want them and who want it and need it. Right now, we've got, in my estimation, maybe 800,000 people now have the flowchart document. So we know that we have formed an irreversible tsunami, and we believe that it is necessary as we spread the truth that, A, the U.S. Special Virus Program is the genesis of HIV and AIDS, and that research logic flowchart, the blueprint, is irrefutable evidence of the intent and purpose of the United States to make HIV, and we believe that we can prove that. And again, it's boydedd2003@yahoo.com for anybody that can help. You know, I've got a pretty big brief to do by Friday. The case number is 04CV1345, and that's in the San Diego Federal Court, Southern District of California, Graves versus Lansdowne. Lansdowne is the chief of police. Few people are unaware that I was kidnapped after we were in the federal court by the police and beaten up and raped with an injection of some sort and dumped unconscious in the VA hospital, which is the essence of the misconduct by the police with respect to how I'm being treated for allegedly making irrational statements to federal government made aids. You know, my statements are not irrational. They're based on the U.S. documents of the United States.
Well, now, of course, you then are suing the local police force there. Is this the basis of the suit?
Yeah, sure, certainly, but as it relates to how can the police kidnap me, beat me up, inject me, rape me with an injection, and then the United States, the VA hospital, incarcerate me. So what's the nexus there? Where's the meeting of the minds? And the judge saying, well, the United States doesn't have to, you know, doesn't have to, they're dismissed. Well, they're going to keep coming up again because, you know, here the San Diego police, you know, did that to me, and then after they injected me, I was unconscious, and, you know, here by ambulance, they take me someplace and dump me, and I wake up and I'm in the middle of a ward with, you know, truly, truly crazy people. I almost didn't even survive that, you know, but yet the judge is saying the United States doesn't have to answer as to why that happened. So,
well, is the judge going to allow the case to go forward or not?
With the San Diego police, and certainly why, you know, they're going to kidnap me for making irrational statements, federal government made AIDS. So either Boy Dead Grace is crazy or the United States made AIDS. That would be the eventual issue for the jury.
Now, you will get the four jury because that's so important. And of course, you can't sue the federal government, but you could at least sue the people in San Diego, the police force there.
Well, sure. They weren't even at issue here in the June 24th hearing. It was just the federal government people trying to get out from under it, but you know, some accountability has to be made because it appears to be more than it appears to be a conspiracy of some sort directed at me individually, in essence, to cast me as delusional so that I get incarcerated and locked away someplace because you know, the nigga crazy. And well, that's not going to happen. So we're out here fighting, Stan. We appreciate all the help, you know, for the good people that can be mustered, you know, to continue to keep this issue alive. So anytime you want somebody to debate me on this issue, you have them ready because we're ready to go. These are U.S. documents. If they can't look at these U.S. documents and come to meaningful conclusions, what we have done,
we're out of time. God
bless your show.
Bye bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You'll need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest has been Boyd Graves. And Boyd, of course, is very involved in this emotionally and with very, very good reason. I mean, he was diagnosed with AIDS 13 years ago. Apparently, he's done quite well, has taken some treatments, which seem to have converted his HIV test to negative. Now, are there responsible books out there that might be able to convince you that this is a man-made virus? I'm talking about AIDS, Ebola. Well, we carry a book. We think it's a very important book. It's called Emerging Viruses, written by Dr. Len Horwitz. And you will actually see the copy of the contract that was given to Litton Industries to produce this terrible, terrible virus. It's a very well-documented, very well-researched book, and goes into the fact that this disease was disseminated here in the United States in the vaccine that was given to homosexuals in San Francisco and in New York. And we actually have the reports out of San Francisco, as we said earlier. 75% of the homosexuals who were foolish enough to take that experimental hepatitis B vaccine contracted AIDS. That did not happen by accident. We foolishly, and I'll have to admit I was taken in by this initially, thought this disease was going to just spread throughout the entire community because it was exploding within the homosexuals, without realizing it was exploding within them because they'd taken experimental vaccine. And as far as we can tell, it must have been laced with that virus because 75% of the homosexuals that took that experimental vaccine contracted AIDS, and nowhere near that in the general population. It was, you know, it certainly killed an awful lot of homosexuals. But it, you know, and now it's sort of slacking off in the homosexual community, and it's not that their lifestyle has changed at all. It's just that they're not getting any more of that experimental vaccine. And the same thing happened in Africa. The areas of Africa where they got the experimental vaccine, the disease was rampant. And in the other areas, why hardly find it at all. So could anything be that evil? Well, if you'd like to see the remarks of Jacques Cousteau, who talks about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day, we have the UNESCO courier. We'd be glad to send that to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to see Dr. MacArthur's testimony, we have that. We have the documentation on that. But what we need is for you to find out if this is really true. You need to get the book, Emerging Viruses. You need to get my book, AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. It's the classic book on the politics of AIDS. And I'll have to admit, when I read it, I could not bring myself to believe that anybody would be that evil that they would actually want a black plague to sweep through our society and kill countless millions of people. If you'd like the pages from Bertrand Russell's book, he talks about that. That's page 103. We actually have permission from the publisher to reproduce those pages, and they're contained within my syllabus, The Hidden Agenda, but we'll be glad to give you those pages from Bertrand Russell's book. You need to understand that Bertrand Russell talked about if we could only have a black plague sweep through the population every generation, that we wouldn't have to worry about too many people in the world. If we could only have a black death sweep through the population every generation, we wouldn't have to worry about too many people in the world. They could procreate as much as they wanted to. Bertrand Russell, like Jacques Cousteau, has a different worldview. Totally unconcerned about human suffering. Are there people who would spread a major disease? Well, I will tell you that Dr. Gesselquist, and we've interviewed him, he found that in certain areas of Africa where they've tested the children, pre-adolescent children with not sexual contact, 40% of them, their mothers weren't HIV positive. How did they get the disease? Their mothers weren't HIV positive. Oh, they used dirty needles when they were vaccinating. That's how they did it. They used dirty needles. Do you really think they're that stupid? I mean, are public health officials so stupid as to use dirty needles? They cost a penny each when bought in bulk, and the injections cost $1 or more. No, they know exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. There is a genocidal agenda. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get our 4-tape set on population control, our video on population control, the books we talk about, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.